Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
With e-commerce off the charts, many small and growing warehouses are asking, how can I get ahead when my warehouse is barely keeping up? The answer is future-ready warehouse tech from Zebra Technologies. Warehouses can simplify and upgrade all processes, from automated inventory management to hands-free picking, with Zebra's tailored, scalable mobile solutions. They're simple and intuitive. There's never been a better time to upgrade for success with Zebra. How can your warehouse get ahead? The answer is in black and white. Get the answers at zebra.com/the answer. That's zebra.com/the answer.
Businesses are retooling fulfillment operations, from warehouses to omnichannel, to meet new demand amid unprecedented labor shortages. 3PLs, retailers, B2B distributors, and others are turning to flexible fulfillment solutions like Six River Systems to adapt and scale. Six River Systems' Fulfillment Execution System is an integrated solution that combines intelligent, cloud-based software and automation, including its autonomous mobile robot, AMR, Chuck. No costly or disruptive infrastructure changes, fast and easy associate training, and integrations with other warehouse execution solutions allow operations to meet labor challenges, increase efficiency, and enhance customer engagement. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today, and this is a special episode. This episode is a family affair. It's not my family, but we have a father and daughter on the show, and father also recently on the podcast as well as a guest, Dave Haley from Open Sky Group. And when we were at MODEX and we talked, he mentioned that his daughter was also there in attendance for a different company looking for solutions of her own. So we're going to bring Maddie Haley on as well. She works with Genuine Parts, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about how supply chain kind of became the family business and a little bit about their reaction to MODEX and what they saw. So Dave, it's good to be talking to you again. And Maddie, welcome on this show for the first time.
Good to see you again, Kevin. Thank you. Look forward to the conversation.
I'm definitely happy to get you guys both on. I know we tried to connect at MODEX, but it was a little wild. And I think with, you know.
Yeah, you're a popular guy at MODEX from what I could see.
A little busy. I mean, well, 37,000 people were there, right? So a little, yeah, a little crazy.
You talked to all of them, didn't you?
Oh, I didn't talk to all of them. Oh my God. I would still have no voice if I talked to all of them.
There you go.
All right. So why don't you tell us, I guess, a little, I mean, Dave, we talked to you already a little bit. So I'll let Maddie go first on this one. Cause you know, Dave, you're kind of coming from a solutions perspective, providing solutions. And Maddie, you're actually kind of shopping for solutions, I guess, at MODEX in a sense as an attendee. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what it is you do and kind of what's your approach as an attendee was to MODEX?
So I work for, like you said, Genuine Parts Company. Mm-hmm. I deal a lot with projects in my company. And so I went there looking for solutions to a few pain points that I see and other probably issues that our company is facing right now and how to be more efficient, just like everybody else. And so I went with the purpose of what could we maybe get out of this and bring into new facilities, because we are expanding our facilities and definitely working on trying to make them more efficient. So definitely the more robotics and everything like that, probably like everybody else, there are millions of robots standing around. So maybe not how to replace people, but how to get them tools to do their job better, quicker, easier.
Okay, very interesting. And so what would you say, I mean, going to MODEX, what was probably the number one challenge that Genuine Parts is dealing with that they're trying to solve with this automation?
I think for us, definitely just how to be faster. The business is growing. Even through COVID, our business did really well. So it was really interesting to see, you know, what there could I take back into the business. So definitely just how to get things done quicker.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. And Dad, what did you think after we talked? What was your reaction to everything you saw there at MODEX?
I would say if I go back to my days as an operator, there's so much out there. Just, you know, as Maddie was saying, everybody is challenged with doing things more efficiently, doing them quicker, however you want to call it, but it all ends up to speed, right? And there's so many alternatives to address these problems. But how do you pick the best one for you? How do you find the right partner? Do you go to an integrator? Do you put this work on your internal team? Do you trust the vendor to solve your problems? It's just really complicated. I just don't feel it's as simple as sometimes it looks when you're walking down the aisle and you're seeing a robot spinning around or somebody who comes in and all of a sudden can pick in, you know, 600 lines an hour and 15 minutes of training. That's fun and that's exciting. I have to think it's a bit more complicated than that or we'd all be doing it. And I look at some data the other day, Kevin, and there's 11.3 million open jobs right now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right.
We are now within 1 million people of our pre-pandemic employment participation rate. And the unemployment rate is 3.6%. So we have a very, and if I just look at warehousing distribution, it's consistently 500,000 open jobs.
Right.
That's supposed to scale through this decade of another 500,000 jobs needed. So we're at 1 million jobs. Where are they coming from? So we have a supply and demand issue. We can't increase the supply, or at least I'm not smart enough to not increase the supply. So we got to decrease the demand. So we're not going to turn business away or we'll be looking for something else to do. So we got to increase the labor hour or decrease the labor hours that we need to get our work done. And some of that's as simple as just a process improvement. You know, I know Maddie's been involved in several of them. Can we relay out a little bit better? How do we do a value stream map of our picking or put away processes? And where's that non-value added activity we can remove? So, you know, maybe we're not necessarily reducing heads, but we're reducing hours. So if I have a outstanding demand to hire 20 people and I run an efficiency project, you know, maybe that demands 15 people. That's a little easier. If I put a labor management system in, and it really depends how mature you are, but if I put a labor management system in, you know, you can get as much as a 35% increase in productivity. So just do simple math. If I had 100 people and I'm saying I'm 30 people short and I put a LMS system in there and I work through the bugs, I don't have a shortage anymore. I've taken care of it because I've gotten more efficient without having to find all those extra people I thought I needed.
Right.
Then you get into robotics and you get into systems and you get into all that kind of stuff. But I just think as you attack these problems, we really got to go back to old school, lean it out, process improvement. Where can I save time? Where's my travel time? I think 50 to 70% of your travel time is in picking is people walking back and forth, right? Or driving to the dock or going here or going there.
Right.
That's got to be an opportunity. When was the last time people looked at their slotting and made sure their high velocity areas were staffed correctly and waiting time and replenishments, if you have a replenishment model? There's just a ton of things that as operators and as leaders, we really need to be looking at. And as I said earlier, I just like to look at it as simple supply and demand because it always proves itself out, right? I mean, as supply is constrained, the price is going to go up. You know, we're paying for more of the labor. And another piece I want to back up a little bit is it's engaging that workforce too because we're in a price war right now, right?
Yeah.
So if you're making people feel that, if you're making people feel part of something, understanding why what they do is important. You know, training tends to be, here's how you do your job. Mm-hmm. Not much, here's why you do your job. Here's why it's important. Right. You know, here's why wasting time is going to crack us. And we're open to your ideas on how to do it better because you're doing it 8, 9, 10 hours a day. We're not. Mm-hmm. And I think if you tackle those things, you're going a long way to attacking the demand side of the supply and demand issue. Because as I said, we're not going out and clone a million people. I don't mm-hmm. think we know how to do that. I think we're still working on sheep. That's a long way for people, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you have great points there. And, you know, it's something that's, you know, been iterated a couple of times on the podcast. And I think there's so much automation and robotics coming into play. And if you're just kind of taking these things and, you know, you're throwing them at your processes, but yet you haven't really taken a step back and actually looked at your processes and dissected them. And like you said, figured out where is that waste initially. You're not necessarily making a huge improvement or a great impact. And you may be surprised in a sense. You make this investment and, you know, it's not the gains that you thought you would get. So I think it's a great point, Dave, about that and making sure that you're optimizing everything that you can before you take that next step into automation and all those different things.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. It's a process like anything else, like mm-hmm. Maddie was talking about earlier. She, mm-hmm. You start at the start, and the start is, does my process yield the most efficiency it can? How can I fix it? And also, if I'm going to automate, do I have a robust process that aligns with the automation? Or am I trying to automate a bad process?
Right.
Because that takes you from being in trouble to shutting down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now I'm curious, because you mentioned earlier on there, Dave, about, you know, all these different things that at MODEX, you know, they say that, you know, the robot's spinning around, I think you said, and some of them others say like, oh, you know, get to 600 picks an hour or something like that. But, you know, kind of hinting at, you know, where's the practicality in that, I think, in a sense, and what's actually realistic. So I'm curious, Maddie, from your perspective as you were there and, you know, you saw all these things. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of cool things. And I think, you know, a lot of the big innovations get highlighted afterwards and the news articles and things like that. But from your perspective as someone that's looking to, you know, implement stuff now and address your challenges now, what did you think stood out the most to you as a solution that's like practical in the now and something that can be applied and really give you an advantage in the current environment?
It's so hard, right? Because you want to say in the now, but all the stuff that was there takes way more than just a month to get done. Yeah. So for me, like my dad was saying, like the labor management side of things is so important these mm-hmm. days to even get to the point of being able to implement all the fun robots and all the cool conveyors and everything like mm-hmm. that are supposed to help you do your job. But you still need people to be there to do it. Yeah. So I think getting people there is the bigger part that has to get fixed now before any of that stuff can even come into play while you're getting it ready and while you're teaching people how to do those things correctly is the bigger part that I saw. Even all those, everything was cool and so shiny and pretty, mm-hmm. none of it's going to work if you don't have the people there to support it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a huge point that both of you are making here. I mean, you know, there's all this stuff, like you said, all these shiny and pretty things there, right? But, you know, you need to have people still, because a lot of those shiny and pretty things are still relying on some type of human interaction at the end of the day, too.
Yeah, and I think that was my takeaway. It's like, mm-hmm. I know everyone wants to talk about the robots going to take over and get rid of everybody, but everything I saw still involved like a solid amount of human interaction to it.
Yeah.
No matter how easy they make it, someone still has to push the right button. So.
Right. Yeah. We still need button pushers, right? So, I mean, but the other thing too, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, it seems like, and I'm curious both of your thoughts on this. Like, for me, looking at it, it seems like we've gotten somewhat away from the conversation about creating the dark warehouse, right? Where there's like no humans. Like I didn't hear that really mentioned that much this year at MODEX, and it wasn't really something that came up a lot in our conversations. It's like very much more focused on the collaborative. Were you both kind of getting that same sense?
I guess. I don't think anyone like outright said it. I definitely think people have to be there to do it, but I don't think it was maybe as awful as people would think it would be, where they do think you're not going to need any human people there.
Yeah, I would say, Kevin, and Mandy mentioned this early on when we started talking, we're really looking at this technology to augment people's efforts, right?
Yeah.
To be, you know, be that lever that helps you move something you couldn't move by yourself. Mm. There's the solutions I kind of like, and it's specific for what you're trying to do, but where they use robots to do the replenishment activities, a highly repetitive, boring, time-wasting stuff,
yeah,
and to support the pickers' opportunity to really pick at a high velocity, feel good about what they're doing, feel like they're contributing, and not be so exhausted at the end of the day. You know, you take all the walking and travel away from them, getting on the machine, getting off the machine, and put them in a smaller space where the pick face or pick wall, whatever they want to call it, is being populated by the robots. You know, that's not a dark warehouse, but that certainly is a better way to spend your day and less exhausting way to spend your day, in addition to the efficiencies you pick up. So there's terrific stuff out there, but you need to think about it. And one of the things that, you know, we run into is a lot of warehouses have different picking functions. In the last facility I ran, we had extensive overpack operations, but we also had pallet in, pallet out. We had case pick operations. We just had a ton of different things going on, and there isn't one solution for that. So you may find a great road provider that does goods to person in an overpack world really great, but they can't handle a 4,000 pound pallet or whatever.
Right.
So you need somebody else. And then how do you have all that talk to each other? Mm-hmm. And how do you have it talk to your current integration system? So there's a lot to think about. It can all be solved. There's a lot of smart people in the world, but it needs to be done well before you go in and make these investments, because you don't want, like Mandy said earlier, the robot sitting in the corner and your boss's boss's boss walking through and asking why there's $1 million worth of robots sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
Why is that's not a good day. That's a day you're calling sick.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out for the next few days, you guys.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not out here to say, you know, that we believe in this stuff. We believe it works. Mm. We know it works. Our partners know it works.
Yeah.
But it isn't a silver bullet. And we've seen too many instances. And I did a talk about companies that, you know, rushed headlong into making these changes and missed something and had to add people or create new jobs to cover the gap that they thought they were going to solve with the system. So you just need to be careful. You need to take your time. You need to crawl, then walk, and then run. I sat in on a seminar about companies that had automation, and one of the guys got all puffy chested and said, "I would have gone faster." I mean, would you really? Would you really have gone faster?
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be careful. You could really mess things up.
Yeah.
And there's no need to do that. You need to have a plan. You need to have good partners. And again, if it's an integrator, if your internal team has the bench strength to do that, or if you have a vendor that you really trust to do things, and you need to have an incremental improvement plan, you're not going to flip the switch and everything's working great. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of great points there. I mean, you certainly need to be able to plan it out and stick to the plan too as well. I mean, I've certainly been in situations in my career where they wanted to go faster, and you may go faster, but it doesn't work the way they want it, and they want to know why it doesn't work. And then when you tell them, go faster, and they said, no, we were going to go faster, not just me, right?
You know, the other thing I want to touch base on is the ROI of these projects. So the equipment's come down from, you know, like any technology, the longer you wait, the cheaper it is. And also, I think companies need to factor in, are they unable to grow because they can't meet service today? There's a cost to that. What's the cost of a lost sale? Mm-hmm. I think it's really time to take a deep look at our ROI calculations.
Yeah.
You know, almost always, however you want to spin it, it comes down to reducing headcount, right? That's always been the way. Maybe space, but mainly it's headcount.
Yeah.
but maybe that headcount is a factor. Maybe the other factor is I could grow by 15%. I just can't ship it. And what does that cost me? What's my margin I'm losing? How do I factor that in? I think those are important considerations. And also, I'll tell you, the robotics guys got some creative financing. They're trying to be your solution where, you know, come the holiday season, whenever your peak season is, I think it's different in the auto parts industry. I've never gotten spark plugs for Christmas.
It's the summer.
Maddie, I have never gotten. I think that's a hint for this year, right?
But where you'd bring in a mass attempts and they'd work for you 3 to 4 months or whatever. Well, now they have robots that you can lease, paying for that capital investment when you're not using it. So there's a lot out there. And as I said, you just got to be measured about how you go about it and have some good conversations with people that have been there or can put you with people who have been there and really making your right decisions. So when you do roll it out and you roll it out the correct way, the people embrace it. Now, you know, again, Mandy said earlier, people are always going to be worried about their jobs, and you just got to make sure that's not a factor when you do these things.
Yeah,
absolutely. Making sure that they're involved in a lot of the steps of the process when you're totally changing what they do is really important. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it a lot in what I've done, and just making sure that you have their buy-in, whether they're comfortable with it or not, like you've walked them through everything and how this is supposed to benefit everybody is really important. Just to the basic people that you have working for you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you guys make a lot of interesting points there. And, you know, it's interesting to hear, you know, some of these inputs, I think, when, you know, we look at the, like we were talking about how Modex is, you know, all this like shiny objects around and it, you know, but really at the core of it, like we still need to be able to optimize what we're doing initially before we get to work with these shiny objects. Cause like you said, Dave, you don't want to end up with that robot in the corner, collecting dust, right. Or anything like that. It's not,
well, you might've given it with one, but like 10 or 15 gets really ugly.
Yeah. You get them pulled up there. Someone's going to ask a question one of these days.
So before we wrap up here, I'm curious, you know, father, daughter, you guys are both working in supply chain now. So I'm curious, Maddie, how did you end up getting in supply chain? Was it, you know, going over kind of lean principles at the dinner table when you were young, or how did that work out?
I think as soon as I got to school and I got into the business school and I saw these classes, it just kind of like maybe jogged memories. I don't know. And I thought all the classes I took were so fascinating. And the company I work for has a really good management trainee program where they kind of for a year and a half bring you into it where it's not crazy head on. You have to perform right away. You get to learn all aspects of the business. So I think I've been very fortunate. I've gotten to do a lot of cool things with the company so far. And I think my dad's definitely been there to help bounce ideas off and just remember things that he's taught me before, definitely.
You see that proud dad smile right there. I see it.
I'll just say that, you know, its supply chain is obviously become more known than before. But when Maddie was coming out of school and she went into supply chain, she got her degree. She had a terrific co-op with GlaxoSmithKline up in New York, Pennsylvania. And the good thing about it is there was nothing to do in New York, Pennsylvania, but work and go to school. So that worked out really well for everybody. But supply chain is just a ton of things you can do. You know, Maddie's done warehouse consolidations. She's doing inventory reconciliation. She's managing inventory between two different business units, sharing a building, working through systems, making recommendations of what can be better. And in 5 years, she may be in procurement. She may be in sourcing. It's just it's a big word, supply chain, and touches a lot of things. And I think sometimes people, and I'll, you know, kind of pick on my daughter a little bit. You know, I think she thought she was going to join Genuine Parts and go be a picker in a warehouse. Well, yeah, she had to do that for a day and learn how to do it.
I got lucky.
So it's just an interesting career for people. And like anything else, it's what you make of it. Yeah. And I think she's fortunate to get into a good leadership development program, which I think are terrific.
I couldn't recommend it enough.
Absolutely. You know, find out what you don't want to do, right? You know, I don't want to do this. Absolutely. This I like. And if the company's going to invest 18 months in educating you, take advantage. It's terrific.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. There are plenty of things I realized I didn't like, but you got to throw yourself head in and try it out before you know for certain you don't actually want to end up doing it.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And you know, being able to get in a program like that, I think is a fantastic thing. So I'm curious, maybe for our younger listeners, Maddie, that may be, you know, in school and undecided or want to do business, maybe we want to convince them to do supply chain. What kind of tips or advice would you give them if they're kind of undecided, or maybe, you know, they're doing supply chain and they're about to graduate next month?
I think, like my dad said, it's such a big word and there's so many facets underneath the supply chain umbrella that you really could go a ton of different paths. So if the warehousing side isn't for you, check out the procurement side. Try doing RFPs, stuff like that is really, I didn't love it in school, but who knows, maybe now I would really like it after being involved in so many projects and working with these conveyor companies and systems like that. Maybe it would be something I'm interested in now. Like I said, like just going into it with an open mind and making sure that you are doing everything you can and trying everything out before you truly make a decision is really important.
All right. Very interesting advice. And thank you for that. And I want to thank you both for coming on the show. I think it's a really interesting dynamic to have the father and daughter here, and, you know, from different kind of perspectives. And it's great what you guys are doing for the supply chain world as a family, big contributions on both sides there. So thank you guys very much. And obviously, you know, we'll put some more information about Genuine Parts and Open Sky Group at thenewwarehouse.com as well. And also your LinkedIn so people can connect with you. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. And we're going to make sure that Dave gets some spark plugs under the tree this coming Christmas.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sorry. I didn't really want
Yeah, that. I think I just, yeah. I think I just jinxed myself there.
Yeah, now I know.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.